Have you written a book and want to get it published? Then call Page Publishing ASAP. We're looking for authors of all types of books. And unlike most publishers, Page Publishing will take the time to review each and every book submitted to us. And we'll give you our feedback. And if we like what we read, we will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, the Apple iTunes Store, Barnes & Noble, and other outlets. We handle everything. Editing, cover design, copyright protection, printing, publicity, and distribution. So if you've written a novel, children's book, cookbook, inspirational work, poetry, or a biography and want to get it published, call Page Publishing now for your free author submission kit. Your road to fame and fortune could very well start with this simple phone call.
888-785-0618. 888-785-0618. 888-785-0618. That's 888-785-0618.
This is Business Talk with Jim Campbell, nationally syndicated over the Biz Talk Radio Network, 350 stations around the country. And each year at this time, we have a show for my business hero, Warren Buffett, on the Berkshire Hathaway annual meeting. But this is the first time we've actually come to Omaha. And we are in the Hilton Omaha lobby, which is attached to the CenturyLink, where tomorrow 40,000 people descend on Omaha, which is pretty amazing in and of itself. And appropriately, we're starting off with the Berkshire subsidiary CEO of Oriental Trading Company with an incredibly impressive background. That's Sam Taylor, CEO of Oriental Trading Company, Inc., the nation's largest direct marketer of party supplies, arts and crafts, toys and novelties, and a leading direct marketer of school supplies as well. Recognized as one of the top 50 Internet retailers, the company offers over 40,000 products. And prior to Oriental Trading, he was a senior VP of Consumer Direct at HP.com, at Hewlett-Packard, SVP Online Stores and Marketing at Best Buy, e-commerce at Land's End, Disney, and Bain Consulting. Wow, that's pretty impressive. Welcome, Sam. Good to have you here.
Thank you very much, Jim. It's good, great to be here.
All right, the first question has got to be, you're part of the Berkshire family, and all we hear about is how special that is. How special is it?
It's amazing. There's nothing like it. And I've been lucky in my career. As you mentioned, I've worked for a lot of large public companies. When I joined Oriental Trading in 2008, we were owned by private equity. We did a financial restructuring. We were owned by hedge funds. So I've seen it all. And I tell our employees every day, there is nothing like being owned by Berkshire Hathaway. We achieved the pinnacle of possible outcomes in our journey at Oriental Trading. And part of it is the culture is so special. So the Berkshire Hathaway culture, it really is. It's about two things. It's about integrity and autonomy. And we are so blessed to be part of one of the largest public companies in the world, but we're able to operate as owner-operators. We get to run the business as if it's our family business. We can be entrepreneurial. So we have all those resources of Berkshire Hathaway, but we get to be entrepreneurial. We have autonomy, and we're able to grow the business the way we want to.
Integrity and autonomy, it's a pretty good combination. I don't know if you know Jeff Matthews. He's a hedge fund owner, but he's the one who recommended I speak to you because you were part of a private equity holdings and as well have been a public company. Tell us the fundamental difference between Berkshire Hathaway, how he leaves you alone, quarterly focus issues, the stuff you deal with a public company, and then, of course, yep, the private equity.
Yeah, the big difference, well, with public companies, obviously you're living quarter to quarter. I thought maybe that would change with private equity, but, you know, when times are good in private equity, it's different. I joined in 2008, right before the Great Recession. So in tough times, and when time gets tough in private equity, it's, you know, week to week. It's a lot of, it turns into a lot of micromanagement in challenging times, and that's what, you know, we were kind of going through. The huge difference with Warren Buffett is he thinks long term. I mean, when my first meeting with Warren, he said, I don't worry about this quarter, about this year. I'm focused on the next 5, 10, 15 years for Oriental Trading. And I've never seen anything like that. Any public company, any private equity experience, nobody thinks long term like Warren Buffett.
You hear that he customarily needs 5 minutes to make a decision on whether he thinks you're someone he wants to work with integrity-wise, culture-wise, and whether the business economics. Was that kind of true? How did he come to do the deal for you guys?
I think it's an amazing story. So, like I mentioned, we had been owned by private equity. We went through a financial restructuring. We came out with new owners, which were our previous senior debt holders, who weren't in the business to hold it long term. This was in early 2011 when we came out of our restructuring. the company, even through the restructuring, we were performing very well. The company's always been very profitable. And so after a little over a year, we were performing well, and our owners were deciding, well, maybe it's time to sell the business. We went through a sale process. They didn't get the valuations they were looking for, and that's when my CFO came to me and said, now we need to talk to Warren, because Warren, he doesn't get involved in auctions. And so we got approval from our board. We got our number from our board. And my CFO sent an email, actually, to Mark Hamburg, the CFO at Berkshire Hathaway, on a Friday around 10 o'clock in the morning. And within 2 hours, the phone rang, and it was Warren Buffett calling up saying, you know, tell me about the business. So he told me about the business. He said, you know, send me over whatever financials you have. That was a Friday. He said, I'll get back to you soon. That next Tuesday, he called up and says, yeah, I'm around all week. We should meet. I said, we can be there in an hour. Because we're here in Omaha. And he said, come on over. So my CFO and I, we went over, met with Warren and a couple of his key lieutenants, a two-hour meeting. And at the end of the 2 hours, he said, let's do it. Let's do this.
Wow. And you had the same feeling that this was a marriage made in heaven kind of thing?
I feel extremely fortunate that it worked. I tell our employees, out of the hundreds of possible outcomes, we achieved the pinnacle, the very best. I think it is. He had mentioned, you know, he's had his eye on the company. In fact, he kind of joked. He said, I should have bought this company a long time ago. But for us, you know, one of the other big changes is we have a permanent home. You know, when you're owned by private equity, every 3, 5, 7 years, you're up for sale. You know that. And that's
really forever with Berkshire.
And yeah. And he came out and talked to all of our employees. He says, I bought Oriental Trading and I'm going to own it forever. And for all of our employees, for the management team, that's a huge relief, that sense of permanence. And, you know, we can build on that.
And it's real. Before we get back to Mr. Buffett, tell us a little bit of what Oriental Trading is about. 40,000 products seems hard for me to conceive of how you can manage it. Maybe your business model?
Yeah. Well, and that's part of our moat. So, as you know, when people ask me sometimes, you know, what was it that Warren Buffett saw in Oriental Trading? And so he looks for three key things. He looks for, first, a management team, strong management team that he can trust. Secondly, he looks for a strong business model that generates a lot of cash, and we have that. We have double-digit operating margins, so a very profitable business. And third, he looks for that competitive moat. And part of that competitive moat for Oriental Trading is our product assortment. So we have over 40,000 products. Over half of those are proprietary products that we have developed. You can't find them anywhere else. We have our brand name, very strong brand. If you talk to our customers, our customer loyalty scores, net promoter score, is over 70%. That's world class. That's like Southwest Airlines, Harley-Davidson.
Wow.
So very strong brand equity. When our customers come to us, they're planning typically some kind of event. It could be a birthday party, graduation, wedding, a school event, company event, and they're looking for a whole solution. And that's what we provide, a one-stop shop. We pull the whole solution together, make it easy for them, and we help them save money. We have guaranteed lowest prices. Value is critical today.
Wow.
And our customer, that's what she's looking for. She's looking for somebody that can save her time and money, and that's where Oriental Trading comes in.
Very impressive. Now, tell us, you're inside the company now. What's your ongoing relationship with Buffett? How do you interact? How often? How hands-on is he?
One, it's funny, because in that first meeting I had with him, I said, you know, how involved do you get? Do you get involved in strategy? Yeah. And he laughed. He says, I don't get involved in operations and strategy. Right. He said, I want you to run this like it's your family business. He said, the only time you need to come to me is if you want to do an acquisition, because obviously he's passionate about capital allocation. He's really good at it, obviously. And so we have done two acquisitions, and both times we had to run those by Warren and get his feedback, and he weighed in on that. But, you know, my interactions are, he's known for being, you know, autonomy is the culture, and he's very hands-off. Once a month, I put together a board letter, and the chairman of Oriental Trading is actually Tracy Britt Cool, so she's one of Warren's.
Oh, okay, I know.
Yep. So Tracy's our chairman, so I write, every month I write a letter, CEO, letter to the board, goes to Tracy, goes to Warren, has our financials for the month, talks about what we're doing in all the different parts of our business. I know he reads them, because every now and then I'll get a note, a handwritten note from Warren, and there's no better feeling than that. You know, for CEO, a handwritten note on a piece of his stationery, and it'll say, you know, great quarter.
Blew it out, yeah.
Yeah, he's amazing. You guys are doing great work. He says, you're making me look good, you know, Warren. And so he's reading those, but the interactions are not a lot. Every now and then we've reached out to him for some help. We had our wholesale business wanted some help selling a big account, and we put together a fun music video. And Warren, I said, would you do a cameo? He said, sure. And so we went over and filmed, and he was a cameo in our music video. So he's there if we need him, but he's very hands-off.
How's it working through Tracy Britt Cool? Because I know she's rather new.
Yep. It's working great. And so, you know, Tracy, so when we do meet, it's typically with Tracy. It could be every 3 or 4 months or so. You know, she's got more responsibility now because she's now actually CEO of Pampered Chef as well.
Oh.
So she's got that role as well. But it's good because if there are certain things that I need to bring and I can get, you know, responses quickly, you know, I'll run them by Tracy. She'll run them by Warren. But it's been working very well. She's got a couple other portfolio companies that she is chairman of. And I know Warren at one point mentioned that helped him make the decision to buy Oriental Trading. He's like, you know, there's 80 portfolio companies. He's got a lot on his plate. And I think being able to have Tracy and have her oversee some of these companies made it an easier decision for him in 2012 when he decided to acquire Oriental Trading. And Tracy was in that initial meeting along with Ted and Todd. I think that made it easier for him to make the decision. Okay, because, you know, we're smaller than his typical acquisition, but we're a substantial business. We're by far, you know, not the smallest of the portfolio companies, but working with Tracy has been great.
Let me ask this. He said, I look out 1-5 years, but he notoriously thinks strategic plans, you know, just create acquisitions that aren't needed. What kind of strategic planning do you do?
Well, we do, as a management team, myself and my executive team, in fact, on Monday, we're starting another offsite to talk about long-term strategic planning. So at least twice a year, my executive team, we get together and talk about the next 5 years for Oriental Trading. What does that look like? And actually, we're getting together since everybody's in town for the Berkshire weekend because we've made a couple acquisitions. And so we have people from SmileMakers. They're based in South Carolina, one of our acquisitions. And then Mindware's up in Minnesota, but they're here for the weekend. So then Monday and Tuesday, our executive team is getting together to talk about what do we got planned for the next 5 years for Oriental Trading.
Very impressive. We're talking with Sam Taylor, CEO of Berkshire subsidiary Oriental Trading Company, Inc., and we will be right back.
The ideal business is one that takes no capital, but yet grows. And there are a few businesses like that, and we own some. We'd love to find one that we could buy for $10 or $20 or $30 billion that was not capital intensive. And we may, but it's harder, and that does hurt us in terms of compounding earnings growth. Because obviously, if you have a business that grows and gives you a lot of money every year and doesn't take it, it isn't required in its growth, you know, you get a double barrel effect from the earnings growth that occurs internally without the use of capital, and then you get the capital it produces to go and buy other businesses.
Do you have an old car sitting in your driveway? How would you like to learn a hassle-free way to get rid of it, help kids in need, and get a great tax donation in the process? It's real easy. One simple free call to our car donation hotline is all it takes. Call the Neshama Foundation at 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723. We'll come pick your car up for free and give you a tax donation for the full value of the car, running or not. The value of your unwanted car will go to help kids in need. It's fast and easy. Just call us and your car will be gone and on its way to helping children in 48 hours. And you get a nice tax deduction. Call the Neshama Foundation now to get rid of your car, help kids, and get a tax write-off. Call 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723. That's 800-721-6723.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right, General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices, a 50 by 100 for under $30,000. You heard right, that's 5,000 square feet under $30,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait.
Call 800-605-5370, 800-605-5370, call 800-605-5370.
Has your life changed? Are you now in a situation where you need health insurance? Here's some simple advice. Call our health insurance hotline right now. This free service will do all the work for you. Shop the health insurance marketplace and find the plan that best meets your health insurance needs. Don't get lost searching for plans on your own. Let a licensed agent help you for free. According to a report on CNN Money, almost half of those eligible for subsidies are paying less than $3 a day for bronze or silver plans. Remember, under Obamacare, most Americans qualify for health insurance. So get ready to let us do all the work for you and find out the best health insurance plan for your needs. Call this number now.
800-659-7975. 800-659-7975. For your free health insurance quote, call now. 800-659-7975. 800-659-7975.
This is a national health care alert from the Health Hotline. If you, a family member, or a loved one suffers from knee pain and have Medicare as your primary insurance, we've got great news. You could qualify for a pain-relieving knee brace at little or no cost to you. Get free delivery and all the paperwork is handled by our accredited suppliers at no charge to you. So if you're on Medicare and have knee pain, don't wait. You may qualify to immediately receive a pain-relieving knee brace at little or no cost. Friendly agents are standing by 24/7 to help you. We also have other pain-relieving braces, too, for your shoulder, ankle, or back. You may be eligible to get these items and more at little or no out-of-pocket cost. Our friendly representatives are standing by now to help you, so please call now.
Call 855-227-0301. That's 855-227-0301. Again, 855-227-0301. That's 855-227-0301.
BizTalkRadio.com.
And we're back with Sam Taylor here on our opening interview, actually, in the lobby of the Hilton Omaha for the always famous Berkshire Hathaway, where 40,000 folks trek to what he calls the Woodstock of capitalism. You talked about autonomy. What's the level of involvement with other Berkshire subsidiaries, and is it mainly over this weekend?
Well, and it's interesting, and that's another difference between Berkshire Hathaway and, I think, you know, private equity. Typically, private equity companies, they have a portfolio of companies, and they encourage you to work together. Sometimes they almost force you to work together. And I asked Warren about that in that first meeting. He says, I let the companies decide. Yep. It is complete autonomy, but that's one of the beauties of Berkshire Weekend. For the last 4 years now, Berkshire Hathaway and Tracy Britt Kuhl has been heading this up, is what we call the CEO Roundtable. So it started yesterday afternoon where all the CEOs are invited, and I think there's at least 70 out of the 80 of us that came and wow. Started meetings yesterday. And it's a great networking opportunity. And I was there with a lot of my especially the retail CEOs, and we were trading stories in terms of, you know, best practices. What are we seeing in the marketplace? How are our businesses doing? And it's great because you can talk to some of the shoe folks that are, you know, Brooks Running Shoes and Brown. I was talking with some of the jewelry folks with Helzberg Diamond and with Borsheim, was the furniture mart, you know, and different segments with See's Candy. So you're getting a flavor of what's going on in different areas. And then we do work together. In fact, the CEO of Helzberg Diamond, she came out to Oriental Trading offices yesterday. She brought five people with her. They met with my team. She brought her some of her marketing folks, e-commerce operations. They sat down with our folks from Oriental Trading to share best practices and see, are there opportunities for us to work together? It's Helzberg Diamonds. We have a wedding business. Is there an opportunity for us to do some co-marketing and just some brainstorming? So we do work together where it makes sense. The Brooks Running Shoes folks, I've been working with Jim Weber and his team. You know, they obviously are sponsoring a lot of races around the country. We have a spirit line of products at Oriental Trading for fundraising and spirit, and great with races. And so they've aligned us up with some of the race directors around the country. So there's obviously synergy opportunities. And
it's up to you guys to leverage them.
And it's up to, Warren leaves it up to us, to the CEOs. And that's why it's great having this event where we can spend a day and a half together and look for opportunities to work together.
In fact, I was going to ask you that question earlier. You talked about how nice it is to get a personal note. Most of the time when these portfolio companies are bought, the owners have more than enough money to be able to hang it up and go hunting or play golf or whatever. What keeps all you guys motivated?
Our love for the company. As you mentioned before, I've worked for a lot of really great companies, yes. Really great brands. But this is far and away the best experience I've ever had working for a company.
Are you guys selling stuff at the exhibition hall this weekend?
Absolutely. So we have our booth. Every year, our number one seller, we do a version Warren and Charlie rubber ducky pair. This year, the theme for the conference is Berkshire by the Numbers, and we thought we would incorporate as many Berkshire portfolio companies as possible in our rubber duckies. So with Warren, okay. We have, besides the Oriental Trading, our Flamingo, we've got, you know, he's got the Dairy Queen ice cream cone, Benjamin Moore paints, he's got Justin Boots, we've got the Omaha World Herald. Charlie has some Pampered Chef utensils, the Geico Gecko, See's Candy. There's a diamond there that could be.
So this is Buffett here?
No, that's Charlie, and this is Warren. You can tell the eyebrows, I think, are the key. So
Aflac, looks like the Aflac duck. Maybe you guys are going to buy Aflac next.
We have, I think, over 200 different types of rubber duckies that we sell. They're always a big seller. This is our number one seller always. It's become a collectible. Every year it's a different version. It's always a lot of fun, but we have other products as well at the booth. We have a couple, Mindware, the educational toy and game company that we acquired.
Okay.
Their number one selling game is Quirkle, over 3 million sold, and we've developed a Berkshire Hathaway edition of Quirkle. And this year, another new product they have, it's a Warren Buffett porcelain bank that you can paint yourself. It's a DIY porcelain bank of Warren Buffett. Encouraging kids to start saving early, to start investing.
Compounding.
Early. There you go.
You said you sell 90% of your products over the internet. How are you leading in the internet and mobility sales?
Yeah, we've really made a transition to being a digital retailer. So we transitioned from catalog retailing to multi-channel with really digital driving our business. So currently, year to date, almost 90% of our orders are coming through our website, through online. Wow. And about 83% of our sales are coming through digital. Obviously, our website is key, but where we're really seeing explosive growth is in mobile and specifically smartphone. So if we look this year, year to date, our smartphone traffic is up 33% to the website, and smartphone sales are up 53%.
Wow.
The reason the sales are growing faster is we've improved our conversion rate. You know, for any retailer right now, that's the big challenge is this explosive growth of smartphone. Every retailer is seeing it. But smartphone for retailing converts a lot lower than desktop.
From click to sale.
So if you look at conversion rate, you know, a visitor comes to your site, and then what percentage buy, that's your conversion rate. On desktop, it's the highest, not a surprise. Tablet is a little bit lower, and then smartphone. And typically, tablet converts at maybe two-thirds of what a desktop would, and smartphone converts at maybe one-third. We've made a lot of investments in digital, and we continue this year. But on the mobile front, we've made significant strides. Our conversion rates are 2 to 2.5 times that of the industry. Industry conversion rates are low, 1.2, 1.5%. We're significantly higher because of the enhancements we've made to our mobile experience. So it's really helping drive our growth, and we continue to focus on improving that digital experience for our customers.
Jody told me that you were on the CBS show Undercover Boss.
Yes.
How was that?
That was an amazing experience. So it was filmed in August of 2011, and then it aired in March of 2012. So it aired before we were acquired by Berkshire Hathaway.
Oh, okay.
For me, it was a once-in-a-lifetime experience to be able to work side-by-side with our employees. And the four jobs I did were all in our warehouse. We have a world-class warehouse.
In Omaha?
In Omaha, yep, in La Vista, which is one of the suburbs here in Omaha. And the reason I wanted to do the show is, as I looked at, you know, employee engagement is really important for me. My philosophy is we take care of our employees. We let our employees take care of our customers. We let our customers spread the word, and everything else takes care of itself. When I joined the company, we used Gallup for our employee engagement survey. When I joined the company in 2008, our engagement was in the bottom 6%.
Really?
Bottom 6% of Gallup companies. And
wow.
I said, I've never seen an engagement this low. This is unacceptable. And so I've been working on that. Going Undercover Boss, I got to work in the area where we have our most employees. Almost half our employees are in the warehouse. It was one of our lower engagement areas. And I got to work side by side, rolling up my sleeve, getting to know these employees. If you watch the show, it's a unique experience. I was not recognized. I was concerned because they see me every three months because I go and talk to all of our employees.
You were not recognized.
But it was a great disguise, and I really got to see
The disconnects were?
Yeah, and the biggest lesson learned for me was communication. And I thought we were doing a good job communicating. I thought I was doing a good job communicating to our employees, and I realized it wasn't enough, and what was missing was the two-way communication. They had lots of great ideas that were not bubbling up. They were telling their supervisor, but then it wasn't happening. Yeah. And the worst was there was no feedback loop. And sometimes they had good ideas, and we were taking action on it, but they didn't even know because we weren't getting back to them. And that was one of the first changes I made after the show aired. My next meeting in the warehouse, I got in front of all those employees and I shared with them, you know, over the last 3 months, here's all the things we've implemented based on your suggestions. And it's amazing the mindset that changed. And that was in 2012. Every year our engagement has improved. And I was really pleased that last year, for the first time ever, we cracked into the top quartile for Gallup companies in terms of employee engagement. We were at 77th percentile.
Wow.
It took 7 years
from
to get
6%.
There. From 6%. It took 7 years. And that's one of the things I also realized. The hardest thing to change is company culture. It's the most challenging to change. But we're getting there, and we're finally in the top quartile. That's where the best performing companies are, in that top quartile for employee engagement.
And it's funny, under this economic environment, employee engagement is often the first thing that's sort of sacrificed when cuts have to be made all the time. And we're going to end up then on the question of your 2015 performance, which I understand was pretty impressive. You just went through the engagement part. Sum up how you guys did 2015.
Yeah, 2015 was a record year for OTC, for Oriental Trading. So we had record high employee engagement, record high customer satisfaction, and it was our most profitable year in the last 9 years. And that's why I say it starts with employees taking care of customers, and then everything else takes care of itself. And we saw that.
That 6% starting point in improvement in engagement, did the customer service tracking results follow that exactly, or maybe lagged a little bit? So
well, it takes a while, but every year we've seen improvements in customer satisfaction.
Well, this has been a great way to kick off the Berkshire Hathaway annual meeting. You can see why these companies are so successful with the autonomy, with the integrity, with the quality of the CEOs, a tremendous background, and a happy CEO, but probably leads to happy employees. Sam Taylor, thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much, Jim.
Starting a business can be tough, but getting the word out about your business through a great website can be even tougher. That's why you need SpotOnWebsite.com. At SpotOnWebsite.com, you can register your company's domain name and even build your website overnight. It's fast, easy, and most of all, it's sure to fit your budget. SpotOnWebsite.com has a wide range of internet products and solutions to make the most of your website, even on a small business budget. Log on today and see for yourself at SpotOnWebsite.com.
I've owned my company for 14 years now, and I can tell you that payroll is a four-letter word. I hate doing it. It eats up hours I don't have, and it costs me money I could be saving. But my accountant's too expensive, and I'm not sure who to call. But I know I need help.
We're Paychex, and we take all the hassles out of small business payroll. We save you time and money. It's easy. Call, fax, or give us your payroll information securely online, and we take care of the rest. We calculate the correct taxes, manage payments and direct deposits. We even send out your checks. Payroll doesn't need to be a four-letter word anymore. We're so sure that we can save you time and money that we'll give you a month's payroll free. Just for calling 877-726-3369. Get 1 month's payroll for free. Call Paychex right now. 877-726-3369. That's 877-726-3369.
Hi, I'm George Foreman. Do you have an idea for a new product or invention? People ask me all the time, George, how do I get my idea in front of companies? How do I get a patent? What do I do next? Do you have the same questions? I'll tell you like I'll tell them all. Call my friends at InventHelp.
Call InventHelp today for free information. InventHelp can submit your invention to companies who are interested in receiving new ideas.
To get your free inventor's information, call 1-800-352-3359. That's 1-800-352-3719.
Are you ready to leave your corporate job behind and be your own boss? Have you ever dreamed of owning a business? Do you have $50,000 or more sitting around in a 401k? If you answered yes, it's time to invest in yourself by buying or starting a business or franchise. IRS code allows you to use money in a 401k to invest in a business with absolutely no penalties or taxes. At Guidant Financial, we've helped more than 11,000 entrepreneurs invest $3 billion in retirement assets into the small businesses and franchises of their dreams. So if you've got $50,000 or more in a 401k and you're looking for a way to start a business, call Guidant Financial now for free information and to learn more. Operators are standing by for your call. 800-570-6630. 800-570-6630. 800-570-6630. That's 800-570-6630.
What is term life insurance? It's basically a financial protection plan for your family if you pass away. It can be a hard purchase. Think about it. It's one of the few major purchases you can make that you will personally never use. But you've got to have it to protect your family. And you owe it to yourself to shop and compare to get the best possible rates. For term life insurance policies of $500,000 or more, call the Term Lifeline today.
800-957-6068. That's 800-957-6068. Remember, we specialize in term life insurance policies of $500,000 or more, and we have great rates for smokers too. So call today. 800-957-6068. 800-957-6068. That's 800-957-6068.
All right, guys, we're ready for our four-season sunroom, and Daddy's gonna get a rec room with refreshments.
Oh, no, we'll be sleeping under the stars.
Mom, what about the one with, you know, the fun?
Nice try, little bro. It's a gym. My gym.
Hey, Grandma's getting her Four Seasons garden room, weather tight and still like being outdoors.
Maybe a living room. Oh, no, wait. A family hub.
Yeah!
No matter what the budget, the season, or the climate, Four Seasons sunrooms let you and your family enjoy the outdoors inside. Call now to hear more about these great offers from the premier manufacturer of sunrooms since 1975.
More reasons for Four Seasons now.
To find out more, call toll-free 800-933-5775. That's 800-933-5775.
BizTalkRadio.com.
And we're now honored to be joined on the phone by Jeff Matthews. He manages the hedge fund Ram Partners, a value-oriented hedge fund, and a nationally known expert on Mr. Buffett. Calls it like it is. He's got a distinctive financial blog. Jeff Matthews is not making this up. And he's the author of Secrets in Plain Sight, The Business and Investing Secrets of Warren Buffett, Pilgrimage to Warren Buffett's Omaha, a hedge fund manager's dispatches from inside the Berkshire Hathaway annual meeting, pretty appropriate for this weekend. And his most recent book, we had him on the show for this one as well, Warren Buffett's Successor, Who It Is and Why It Matters. Also, I want to say he's a great friend of the show and probably responsible for why we're sitting here in the Hilton Omaha lobby. It was his suggestion, and we pulled it off. So thank you, Jeff.
Hey, you're welcome. Anytime.
Now that I was just nice to you, I got to go on the other side. We're here for the first time ever. You've been coming, you can tell us the exact number of years, something like 30 years. You're not here for the first time. Is there any correlation there?
No correlation between my absence and your presence. It just so happens that I sold my stock in Berkshire last summer and don't get tickets anymore.
That's normally considered heresy. Tell us how long you owned it for and what made you make this kind of a major decision.
To correct your 30-year comment, I actually have only been coming for about a decade.
Oh, okay.
I have followed Buffett for my whole career, 35 years. I got to know his track record very early on and was very interested in his style and his technique. It goes back to my days as an oil analyst on Wall Street in 1980 when Buffett was buying General Foods during the oil crisis of the late 70s, and everybody else was running around buying oil stocks. And that's when I first really understood the genius of the guy, and so I've been following him ever since. And I took the opportunity during the financial crisis to buy his stock. So I'd owned it for about 10 years. And what bothered me was kind of a style drift, I guess, at Berkshire. He started buying companies for big prices rather than cheap prices. And the purchase of Precision Cast Parts last summer for $37 billion, kind of at the top of the market and a very rich price for a cyclical business, I just didn't understand what the margin of safety with Berkshire was anymore, so I sold my stock.
Was it a tough decision? And was it also size-related in any way, that the secular growth rate just off of a large base obviously has to decelerate over time and has?
That never really bothered me. You understood that as Berkshire grew to the size that it was basically going to be a GDP plus a little bit type grower. It was no longer what I call your father's Berkshire back in the day when Buffett ran basically a hedge fund and took advantage of low stock prices and made terrific stock picks. It was a business of buying big companies with big cash flows that he generated, and as he kept getting bigger, the growth rates would get smaller. But what really bothered me was paying control premiums, which he'd never done before. When he bought the railroad in 2010, he stole it because he was buying it coming out of a financial crisis, and I thought that was brilliant. But the two or three deals prior to Precision Cast Parts also struck me as nothing too too special, and then Precision Cast Parts was the icing on the cake. I just thought $37 billion for a cyclical business supplying airlines, which he hates, by the way. You know, he hates the airline business, but now you own the largest supplier to them. I kind of thought it was madness. So the decision was actually very easy. It was, okay.
Do you attribute any particular reason for this? Does he have too much cash chasing stuff?
I think he is getting the company ready for post-Buffett. I think he wants to have lieutenants in place who can invest large chunks of Berkshire's capital for a very long period of time. So he's probably making a decent decision in the 50-year scheme of things. But when it comes to, is this a great investment to own a company that buys other companies for fancy prices? No, I don't think it is.
All right, let me ask you, we talked about those brilliant stock picks that he was known for. Some of the big holdings in his concentrated portfolio have real structural business model problems, and IBM, Coke, Walmart, P&G. He vowed for his entire career, you talk about style drift, not to get into technology. Do you have a sense of why he's in IBM, and is there something we're missing?
Well, I know exactly why he's in IBM, because a friend of mine was visiting him on one of these presentations where he brings in graduate students and talks to him. And I said to this friend of mine a few years ago, I said, ask him why he bought IBM. What was the real trigger? Because he's known IBM for 50 years, right? I mean, he's reads every annual report of every New York Stock Exchange company that he's interested in. He knows them forwards and backwards, and he bonded with Bill Gates 20-plus years ago over IBM. That was the first thing they talked about. You know, it was a famous story that neither of them really wanted to get together with each other, but it was Gates' mother wanted Gates to meet Warren Buffett, so they got together, and they started talking about IBM, because Buffett knew the numbers, and Gates knew the business. And so he's known the company, he knows the problems, he knows the financials as well as anybody. Why, after 50 years, did he decide to buy IBM? The answer was, and Buffett subsequently told this story on CNBC, so I'm not saying anything out of school. He said, I talked to our business guys, the guys who run our companies, and they say IBM, once you have IBM, it's really hard to get rid of. And he used the unpolitically correct joke of, it's like AIDS. When you have AIDS, you can't get rid of it. When you have IBM, you can't get rid of it. And he thought that was great. And the pattern recognition in his mind is American Express. He's invested in American Express twice. And the second time he went back to it, the first time was during the salad oil scandal when it was, you know, it was left for dead. And that was fabulous. He came back to it years later because a friend of his in the advertising business told him, you can't get rid of American Express. You have to use it. It's just locked in. Anybody who travels, any kind of business runs on American Express. So to him, he knew the numbers. He knew that IBM generated enormous cash flows. I don't know to the extent he realized how much the customers of IBM hated that. And I don't think he realized how underneath it all, there was a developing cloud-based industry that was geared for just getting rid of IBM. And, you know, when he heard that story about you can't get rid of IBM, he thought it was great because he knew the numbers and he knew the cash flow. And he figured, okay, I'm buying a cash machine. And that's when he went into it.
I'm bothered by the fact that I know it. Not only is IBM, you know, had major problems, but they have a very disengaged workforce because they have done nothing but basically cut almost since 1990 as they changed the mix of their business. Does that matter?
Sure, it matters because the business itself is so dependent on guys going out in the field, having great relationships with their customers, solving problems, and then being able to sell IBM solutions for those problems. And if the workforce isn't happy and the workforce doesn't really believe in their mission, the way the guys at Amazon believe in their mission or the guys at Microsoft under their new CEO believe in their mission, that's a real problem, a huge problem.
Fascinating. You've sold Buffett. Do you see some next generation Berkshires out there?
Well, the one that looks like Berkshire and acts like Berkshire is Markel, our friends in Virginia. Tom Gaynor there thinks like Buffett, acts like Buffett, is buying businesses like Buffett. So that's, I think, a mini Berkshire. I don't know if it can replace Berkshire in the hearts and minds of all investors, but it's a pretty good Berkshire-like operator.
That was a good plug because we have Tom Gaynor on this afternoon.
Great guy.
We're going to finish up now, Jeff. Can you put your visionary cap on, and what do you describe Berkshire 20 years from now?
I will go out on a big limb and say that it's not going to look anything like it looks now, because my guess is that once Buffett is gone, there will be a period of time where Berkshire will continue to move ahead as it has. But then once the guiding force dies down, there will be a lot of pressures to recognize value. And that will involve deconstructing a lot of what Buffett has built. So I actually think it will shrink.
Will that be a good thing?
Don't know. Don't know.
Would you recommend hanging on to stock?
You have to use your own judgment. Look at Berkshire, evaluate it for what it is. I came to a conclusion that it no longer made sense to own something that was buying other companies for big premiums. You know, that's not the model I bought for. I bought based on the idea that he was able to buy companies like ISCAR and Benjamin Moore because they were privately held companies that wanted to sell only to Berkshire, and they were selling it to him at a good price and could provide enormous value to Berkshire shareholders over the year, and that he would use crises like 2008, 2009, 2010 to buy things like the railroad and make great investments. And that's kind of gone, and now he's paying big control premiums for companies like Precision Castparts. So I think it's a different animal, and you just have to use your own head.
We're talking with hedge fund manager and Buffett expert Jeff Matthews. I always love talking to you. And, of course, this show, which we do every year, wouldn't be this show without the fact that you've been on it every year. Carol Loomis has been on it every year after you started. So it's been a great interview. Thanks again for all the insights of getting us into this lobby. We'll miss you here, but love talking to you.
Thanks. Enjoy it immensely, as always. Have a great time, and say hi to everybody you meet.
We have one surprise guest. My youngest great-grandchild, who would be about 7 months old, is also here today. If he happens to break out crying a lot, don't let it bother you. It's just his mother is explaining to him my views on inherited wealth. And
Do you owe $10,000 or more on at least two federal student loans? Then you may qualify for new programs offered by the Department of Education. These programs can reduce your interest, lower your payments, and possibly qualify you for loan forgiveness. If you have $10,000 or more and at least two federal student loans and currently not in school, you may qualify for one of these programs. Call now to check your eligibility. Student loan advisors are standing by to help you determine if you qualify for these new programs. They can help you reduce your interest, lower your payment, and even forgive a portion of your student loan debt. Take control of your financial future. Make this free 5-minute, free call now to Nationwide Student Loans and learn how you can reduce your student loan debt.
800-439-1588. 800-439-1588. 800-439-1588. 800-439-1588.
Due to an upturn in the economy, Main Street Business Loans has pre-approved the release of millions of dollars in small business funding. Your business may already be pre-approved to receive up to $250,000. We've sent out millions of pre-approval letters. We see the economy growing, and our underwriters believe now is the time to invest in your business so you can grow faster and make more money. And we're prepared to give you up to $250,000 to do it. Your funds can be available in 5 days. There are no application fees, no annual fees, just quick access to up to $250,000. If your business did not receive your approval letter to get up to $250,000, call Main Street Business Loans Approval Desk now.
800-430-7570. 800-430-7570. 800-430-7570. That's 800-430-7570.
Are you worried about losing your home to foreclosure? If you've been threatened with foreclosure or receive legal papers from your bank, you have approximately 30 days to respond. If you do not respond, you could lose your home. You have rights. Act now to protect your rights. You can stay in your home. Many times you can even modify your loan. The bottom line is you can get past this, but you must act right now. If you've been served by your bank and you're worried about losing your home to foreclosure, now is the time to fight back and save your home. Time is limited, so call the professionals at National Foreclosure Defense right now.
800-708-7922.
800-708-7922. 800-708-7922. 800-708-7922. That number again is 800-708-7922.
Has your life changed? Are you now in a situation where you need health insurance? Here's some simple advice. Call our health insurance hotline right now. This free service will do all the work for you. Shop the health insurance marketplace and find the plan that best meets your health insurance needs. Don't get lost searching for plans on your own. Let a licensed agent help you for free. According to a report on CNN Money, almost half of those eligible for subsidies are paying less than $3 a day for bronze or silver plans. Remember, under Obamacare, most Americans qualify for health insurance. So get ready to let us do all the work for you and find out the best health insurance plan for your needs. Call this number now.
800-659-7975. 800-659-7975. For your free health insurance quote, call now. 800-659-7975. 800-659-7975.
Are you ready to leave your corporate job behind and be your own boss? Have you ever dreamed of owning a business? Do you have $50,000 or more sitting around in a 401k? If you answered yes, it's time to invest in yourself by buying or starting a business or franchise. IRS code allows you to use money in a 401k to invest in a business with absolutely no penalties or taxes. At Guidant Financial, we've helped more than 11,000 entrepreneurs invest $3 billion in retirement assets into the small businesses and franchises of their dreams. So if you've got $50,000 or more in a 401k and you're looking for a way to start a business, call Guidant Financial now for free information and to learn more. Operators are standing by for your call. 800-570-6630. 800-570-6630. 800-570-6630. That's 800-570-6630.
BizTalkRadio.com. Now we're honored to be joined by Rob Sullivan, who's here with his wife Celia, too. They're in from Massachusetts, actually. And I had asked Warren Buffett's assistant a while back if they might have a long-term investor. He came very highly recommended. She came right back with him. He is one of the lucky guys who actually had an A share, and I looked at the price this morning. It's right now trading at $217,630. And Rob Sullivan joins us now to tell us his story. I thought I had a great story that I bought a share at $15,000, but you beat me by a little bit.
Yeah, I bought basically my first shares through blue chip stamps, because when we looked at the balance sheets, blue chip was carrying the investments at cost, and the insurance company, which was Berkshire in that group, was carrying them at market. So you got a lot more bang for your buck by buying blue chip stamps at the time. Sometimes a 20%.
You arbitrage Buffett.
Why not?
That's a great story. Yeah. Now, I guess maybe do 2 minutes on what blue stamps are, because most people don't know.
Well, blue chip was...
blue chip stamps, yeah.
One of the divisions long time ago, they owned a big chunk of Wesco. They also had See's Candy. So if you looked at the operating businesses, they had by far the best operating businesses with basically almost the same portfolio as Berkshire. To my feeling, when we did the intrinsic value analysis, it was like a 50% up buying blue chip versus Berkshire at the time.
So you could essentially trade up the blue chip for Berkshire stock.
Blue chip was bought out. By Berkshire,
okay.
In 83, I think it was.
Blue Chip Stamps was also a float business originally,
huge,
right?
Huge float business.
And then, but
some of those stamps are still out there.
Is that right?
Oh, definitely.
Oh, yeah, so he's still got,
he's still got a balance sheet somewhere with, I owe somebody some money on some of these stamps.
Why did the business go belly up then, or why did it just die?
Like every trading stamp businesses, there were much more perks in everything else, like, now, with charge cards, you can get 5% back on charge cards. Well, who's going to collect stamps to get a tennis racket for $120? I mean, they're not going
to
do it.
It's a license to steal money, because I still remember my mother cutting those things out, putting them in things.
S&H.
In a drawer. Yes,
S&H.
And then never doing anything with
them. Of course not.
So you were ahead of the game, obviously. You probably taught Warren Float.
No.
So your cost ends up at what? What are you willing to reveal of that?
Well, I'll tell you a little bit. If you take a look at the first shares, we are probably around $100 for an A share. which is not a bad buy.
I need some oxygen.
It's not a bad buy. Bad.
That's probably one of the great investments.
And Wesco, we are way below that. We are around $2 and $3 and $4 a share on
Wesco. You still have Wesco shares?
No, it was bought up by Berkshire, same thing.
Oh, it's bought out 100%. Okay.
Also.
I thought Charlie had some piece of it or something.
No, he doesn't even have the meetings anymore, which I used to love to go to.
Oh, those were just, yeah.
Oh, those are great. There was like 12 of us.
Exactly. And he's just as brilliant as
you go 3 hours.
Really?
It was
whatever
great.
You wanted to ask.
Phenomenal.
Did you get a bunch of shares?
Yeah, I got a bunch.
You got a bunch of shares.
Not enough. But of the first 400 A shares that I bought, we have probably given away probably almost 370 of the A shares over the years.
Of the 400?
Of the first 400, yeah. But every year I gift it some to different institutions.
Is that right?
Springfield College, I'm on the board. They have some A shares. The Library and Museum's got some A shares. If you take a look at the Sisters of Providence, 10% of their portfolio at the Sisters of Providence in Springfield area.
So you're a highly generous guy as well.
Oh, I didn't give them all to them. They actually bought some.
I hope you kept some.
I have a few.
What is your job, your business, or what did you do?
Family business, where I first learned about Warren was in 69 when I was reading Graham and Dodd. I was running a dorm at St. Bonaventure, and I read every book I could, and most of it was junk. Like you said, you get the blinders taken off, and I read Intrinsic Business with Graham and Dodd, all about intrinsic value and how to buy a dollar for a nickel. And it just made sense to me.
And it just, your psyche was attached to it?
Oh, absolutely.
Even while you were in college?
Absolutely. I didn't have any money, but, you know, it was good I didn't have any money because 73, 4, and 5 came along and wiped out
everybody,
all these stocks, including Warren stock went down. So when I actually had some money in 75, 74,
you got a good deal.
I got a much better deal. So the timing worked to my benefit.
So how has Warren evolved over the years himself, his whole demeanor or how he's run?
He's fundamentally, I think, a teacher.
Yes.
And I've got his first letters from the first letters to his partners at the time, and there weren't many of them. And there were nothing as far as educational or...
They were not.
There were nothing. I mean, they just didn't have the information he has now. There might have been 8 pages, and most of it was mathematical. You know, he talked about a little bit about, you know, his balance sheet and that. But he wouldn't talk about his investments just like now. But he wouldn't have the humor. He wouldn't have the anecdotes. Yeah. He wouldn't be teaching. He evolved into a great teacher over the years.
It's fascinating. I almost view that he views himself as a teacher.
He is.
This is a platform that he's got. Yeah.
My son just came out with Holy Cross College. He was a graduate in 08. And because they don't have a business school, they were always disallowed. So my son Bobby came out and he talked to Debbie, and Debbie talked to Warren, and they actually came out a couple years ago, even though they didn't have a business school. I call it the Bobby Sullivan exception. He was able, even though he had graduated, to come out with them and spend the weekend out here with the group from Holy Cross, and it was the first time ever a school other than a business school was allowed. And it's been a home run for
the
college.
He brings business schools.
Right.
Okay.
And it's a home run for the college. And if they came again, they'd have 800 people lined up to try to come out.
Have you gotten a chance to meet some of the legendary subsidiary folks like Mrs. B? Mrs.
Oh, yeah.
So tell us about what you know.
Mrs. B, we bought a lot of furniture from
her. Did you?
She'd drive around in a little golf cart, and, you know, she's probably in her 90s.
Right. Still working full-time.
Oh, unbelievable work ethic. And she would give Seal discounts on things that I didn't know how she got them. But
really?
She just, like everyone, she loved my wife. And we bought 2 truckloads of furniture to bring into New England.
So you get some good deals.
Excellent deals. She was a nice person. Tom Murphy.
Oh,
we got the chance to meet
another
Murph.
Guy that to me is like a hero.
Home run.
What was he like?
Very humble. And on top of it, he was a guy... had no airs about him. He would talk to everybody, and he was probably one of the most brilliant business person that we ever had a chance to meet.
The generosity that you obviously have, does that come from Buffett's philosophy of giving away, or is that just something that...
I think it was compounded. I think we started with that because we've had a scholarship fund in our local area for a number of years, and we've given away a couple $1 million worth of scholarships. Some people think that maybe I should have held on to those shares. I look at what Warren did, and that's a different approach, and I think he's a genius for doing it. But even now, he's given away more. We just felt that the need was greater than me having an extra automobile in the garage. And I still drive a pickup truck, and I still drive, you know, an old Chevy. just like he used to do.
I was going to say, you're just as humble as all the folks you've been talking about, whether it's Tom Murphy, Charlie, or Warren, and now you're sharing it with everybody.
Right.
Obviously, a lifetime of good works. I was looking forward to meeting you very much. As I said, I asked Debbie if they could recommend somebody. It's a real honor. I thought 15,000 was pretty good. You beat me by a lot.
Well, every now and then, different people get the religion at different points in
different
their life.
Different points in life.
And I say to everybody, including kids, start now.
Start now. All right, that's Rob Sullivan, longtime Berkshire shareholder, joining us. Thanks for your time.
Pleasure.
The opinions you hear on Biz Talk Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests, and do not necessarily reflect those of this station, Biz Talk Radio, its management, or advertisers. The information on Biz Talk Radio does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. Please consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions about Biz Talk Radio, contact us at 817-274-1609 or at biztalkradio.com. BizTalkRadio.com.